is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Economic Community of West African States, shorthanded as ECOWAS, critical to understand right now because of the turmoil and challenge to the governances that are extant and the governances that are emerging from violence and threat of violence. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. ECOWAS, 15 states, a total population of 338 million, according to the latest census. That's about the size of the United States. West Africa, dominated by the superpower of Africa, Nigeria. But the states consist of Benin, Burkina Faso, Cape Verde, the Gambia, Ghana, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Ivory Coast, Liberia, Mali, Niger, Nigeria, Senegal, Sierra Leone, Togo. There's a lot of history in all of that. I'm looking especially at Sierra Leone and Liberia. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The presenting issue is coups or something like coups in four of these states. Three in particular were disrupted by the military moving in. However, all of them, the four that have attempted to leave ECOWAS, have said everybody turning around and looking again at what is to be done. I noted the last time we talked that President Tinubu of Nigeria had been in some fashion leading a way of negotiating or mitigating the wish of these four states, Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, to leave. They have not left, as I understand it. They have not left yet. What is the general understanding of ECOWAS and its significance in West Africa? How does it hold these countries together? How does it deal with Nigeria, the giant of all of them? Good evening to you.
Well, it's no coincidence that Nigeria is the central country for ECOWAS, and the ECOWAS headquarters is in Abuja, the capital of Nigeria. But the ECOWAS organization, which began in 1974, basically promised integration in many areas, particularly easing economic transactions across the state lines, something which has been expanded by the African Free Trade Area. But in the meantime, ECOWAS has common standards for judicial activities. It has common standards for currency exchange and the like, although there were many different currencies within the region. And it's got a coordinated defense or national security approach, which allows coordination. And it allows for ECOWAS to intervene in some of the within its own region if there's a problem like a collapse of government or a coup d'etat. And ECOWAS forces were instrumental in stabilizing the civil war in Liberia and in Sierra Leone in the past. They've been coordinating the anti-jihadist movements in the hinterlands of particularly Nigeria, Niger, Mali and the like. So it's been a very successful body, but it's basically also had great traction with the foreign powers. And many of the ECOWAS members are former French colonies. So France has had a lot to say there. France, in fact, has been the most active of the former colonial powers in Africa as a whole. And in some respects, it's helped stabilize those countries, educate them, and provide currency stability and the like. But in other areas, it's seen as being constraining on the African states and perhaps robbing them through the control of the currency situation. Whether that's a fair assessment or not depends on which side of the Mediterranean you're on. But the reality is that a lot of the states have been very unhappy and with France, and Niger and Mali and Burkina Faso all expelled French forces from their countries, even though France's role was to basically help them in the counter-jihadist movement. But you've got literally four of the military coup countries within ECOWAS, including Guinea, were on the point of leaving, and Sierra Leone, which had a de facto coup when the outgoing government manipulated the elections and refused to leave and then basically suppressed the population, they have been able to stay in power as well. Now, what President Bola Tinubu did as president of Nigeria when the coup occurred in Niger in July last year, just after President Tinubu took office as president of Nigeria, President Tinubu responded on behalf of ECOWAS by saying, we will join together militarily and reverse that coup in Niger. Well, that was an incredibly stupid statement, because everybody in the north of Nigeria knows that to get to Niger, you have to go through Nigerian and other territories, which are peopled by the same people who live in Niger. And the coup in Niger was a popular one. So essentially, President Tinubu literally isolated the coup states by threatening this military intervention and then finding out that he couldn't make good on that threat. So he has now had to back down. That was what he did at the ECOWAS Extraordinary Summit, which was held on February the 24th, literally, you know, just over a week ago. And he kept saying that, oh, well, maybe we should be understanding of our fellow ECOWAS member states, and that after all, the form of governance, democracy, elections, and so on, are not the basic theme of ECOWAS. Rather, economic continuity is the theme, one of the founding themes of ECOWAS, so we shouldn't be too worried about coups. Well, this was trying to make the best of a bad situation which he had created for himself, or had created for the region. So now, yes, the negotiations have begun. The ECOWAS summit agreed to the lifting of some of the financial sanctions against Mali and Guinea, and there's negotiation about the other countries, Burkina Faso and Niger. So the process is moving, and I think you're right in saying that these countries may now stay within ECOWAS. But the reality is, of course, that the thrust of what the West would have liked to see happen, namely that Western standards of governance be continued and upheld and pursued in West Africa, that's gone. And it was inevitable that that would go as well, because, frankly, the West and the international community, and that includes the People's Republic of China, the European Union, Britain, the Netherlands, and Spain, Portugal, US, and so on, all the former colonial powers with interests in around the world, they have zero influence on what's going on right now. We can talk about the growing influence or role of Russia in the region again, but the reality is that Africa is now going its own way. That's going to include the transformation of democracy throughout the continent, not just in the ECOWAS West African region. So it's going to be very significant. Some real strength has been given to these states which have undertaken military coups, because in many instances, they've undertaken those coups in order to preserve what could be called democratic standards against corrupt civilian leaderships. The case of Sierra Leone is quite different. There you have a corrupt civil government which basically used its control of the military to suppress the population and had a coup to stay in power. But that was not to preserve democracy. It was to destroy democracy. And we are seeing all of these changes going on. And I think what we're going to see is these African states going their own way, making their own decisions about borders particularly, because what we'll see is a lot more accumulation of states around their old historical national or cultural or linguistic or religious lines than we saw from the colonial period. The colonial borders have proven to be very, very disruptive in a sense. And the case of Niger is classic in this, because Niger is basically a Hausa and Fulani country, and all of the surrounding areas in other countries, particularly Nigeria, have big Hausa Fulani populations as well. So those people, you know, are going to be much more driven to stay together than to stay with their colonial identities.
We have this report from the International Business Times in the last days. U.S. officials are facing formidable diplomatic challenges in West Africa as the strategic partnerships with military governments in the wake of escalating violence from Islamic extremists and the growing influence of Russia. So we have Russia, we have jihadists, Al-Qaeda or its surrogates, and ISIS is not absent, although much smaller. And we have the U.S. and we have the populations of the different states making moves against the elected officials. What sounds like chaos, I mentioned, Gregory, because I did reporting on it these last days, is also disturbance in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Russia's present in the form of the Africa Corps, which is an updated and attached to the Russian military Wagner Group, the Prigozhin operation. We also mentioned the Central African Republic, which is now where Russia plants itself for gold mine exchange through the Africa Corps. It appears that it's not limited just to West Africa. It's continent-wide, these disturbances moving away from the democracies of the 20th century to what? Is there a way of describing what makes these countries stabilize, or are we seeing a mix-up all over again, a transformation of the continent?
Well, this is a massive transformation of the continent, as we've been saying for the past few years. It's been underway with the decline of the ability of international powers such as the US, UK, and People's Republic of China to sway governments based on on investments and the like. Now, the United States has belatedly started moving very much more carefully in this area in some respects. After the Niger coup, Victoria Nuland, the US then acting Deputy Secretary of State, led a team into Niger to meet with the coup masters and basically wanting to keep the United States involved. And the United States has remained involved in Niger, albeit not doing a lot until the region gets its act together to once again resume its anti-jihadist war, particularly against the ISIS-related group, Boko Haram, and so on. But the U.S. has been quite careful. And the reason that Victoria Nuland went in to meet the Niger leadership, which she was not entirely successful in doing, is the fact that Victoria Nuland is the principal anti-Russian member of the State Department leadership. And she was particularly concerned about the massive and now higher profile growth of Russian military capabilities in the four, several of the countries like Niger, Burkina Faso and Mali. That was just part of it. Right. And you pointed out, of course, the Russian involvement in the Central African Republic. Well, that's been underway with the Wagner Group since 2017. We've been tracking that there. And it's only now becoming more and more prevalent in the fact that the Central African Republic government has nowhere else to turn. The French are basically not helping them. The Russians are helping them. Now, what does this mean for Russia's influence in the region? Is Russia going to replace the People's Republic of China as the next influential foreign group in the continent? In some respects, yes. It's already not only there, but it's resumed a presence in Egypt, although the Egyptians, like most of the African countries, do not want to be dominated again by any foreign power, let alone Russia. In Ethiopia, we see the current war is being conducted with the presence there of Russian advisors who have been providing a lot of equipment to the Ethiopian armed forces, but are not necessarily sympathetic with the way Ethiopian government.
We're going to Ethiopia, but we're going there via the Russian problem in Europe. So Europe next to check off the Russian box. Then we'll head to Ethiopia. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.